But now, renewable energy is becoming an increasingly hot topic, and biomethane is part of our national targets. Now, it's where slurry and silage are taken from farming and put through a process of anaerobic digestion, or AD. It's been incredibly successful in other farming-focused countries such as Denmark, where excess slurry can be an issue. Over there, some 25% of the natural gas in the gas grid is biomethane, which aims to be then up to 100% by 2030. However, our AD sector is not even really at the races in comparison. But in Northern Ireland, there are more than 70 farm-scale anaerobic digesters at work. I went to one at the Agri-Food and Biosciences Centre, AFBI, in Hillsborough, County Down, where I met their renewables expert, Chris Johnston.
This is basically all a massive mixing system, because it's kind of important to mix everything up in that reactor. It's possible to get as much as much biogas produced. You feel the temperature of that. It's really, really quite warm.
It's quite pleasant, actually, isn't it?
On a cold day, it's lovely being up here, but that's about, I think we run at about 39 degrees, but it varies between that, 38, 41, something around that. But so as long as you've got really good mixing, you want to mix that enzyme and substrate, all the bugs are growing away in there furiously.
We're piling in the slurry
at the silage. We're giving as much food as possible. So ultimately, we'll get as much biogas produced we possibly can do, which comes up the little pipes here at the top.
Yeah.
And then from those pipes, it then heads to the big green bag there.
That's amazing.
You're overseeing kind of the renewable energy side here at AFBI in Hillsborough. And just to put it into context, though, how big are the giant tanks in front of us? And there seems to be three of them, and then a massive green dome as well. It looks very futuristic.
Yeah, well, this is actually a small AD plant. The majority of the AD plants we have in Northern Ireland at the moment are about 500 kilowatt electric.
They look like giant water tankers.
Well, they are. They're like water tanks, I guess. Just massive, great big tanks. But these are small. I mean, these are relatively small ones. This is just a feedstock tank, but that's a 600 cubic meter digester tank. And that's where all the digestion goes on. It's where the biology happens, where the gases are produced. The big green dome is just an inflated balloon of biogas. That's all that is. It holds the gas there. It's like a big sort of power battery.
You wouldn't want to light a match near it then?
Well, you shouldn't, but actually it should be safe because the gas is transported then down to the energy centre where it's converted into energy.
Well, I know slurry is a key component of this, so we might walk back down to the farm and see what's producing the slurry in the first place. Chris, we've walked into one of the sheds here, and there's, I think it's fair to say, quite a lot of cattle in AFBI. It has quite a big dairy herd.
Yes, we do have a big dairy herd. How big it is, I need to get back to you. But we do have a big dairy herd. At this time of year, though, it's not housed.
I mean, it ranges in the hundreds, though. That's
Yes. Yeah.
And I guess a part of the reason to have your digester on site is you produce a lot of slurry here as well. So does all the slurry from that the cattle produce go into the digester?
Yes, we can put about 7,000 cubic metres or so of slurry through the digester every year. And then also, of course, we're talking about the management of slurry and manure and the nutrient recircularity of that particular material and how we can...
Because slurry is becoming a real problem in terms of when it's spread, where it's spread. So if it could go into something like this, that seems like a win-win.
Well, yes. In the fact that it is a route that is there, the slurry can certainly go towards AD plants, be transported towards large AD, where it can be valorized in terms of biomethane. Don't forget all the nutrients still there, though. All the nitrogen still there, all the phosphorus is still there. So that still has to be managed at the back end of the AD plant.
You were involved in a study with Queen's University.
Yeah, no, I think that piece of work you're talking about was a modeling exercise. It was more or less to sort of investigate if we were to start to redirect excess slurries, excess nutrient, and also top it up with silage as well.
Good quality silage, that has to be.
Good quality silage, but silage nonetheless. If we were to start to do that and make a concerted effort to try to displace as much of the gas grid as possible from fossil gas with biomethane, how far could we get? And I think the modelled exercise showed that we could get it to about 80%. Those were based on 2017 values from memory. So could we displace 80% of that fossil gas with biogas? That was the question, and it looked as though we essentially could. This is a sector that has the opportunity for a massive amount more development.
So potentially you could supply 80% of Northern Ireland's gas demand from AD plants?
Through the modelling we did. Practice could be different, and we know we're starting to have a look at that in practice as well.
In the future, do you see this being led by farmers or by big companies?
I would like to think this should be led by farmers and farmer cooperatives. I think certainly with the development of new facilities, I think the farmers will very much be vital to its success.
I guess it's strange when you draw a comparison between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. There's, at least 70 AD plants across Northern Ireland, in comparison to, I think, barely 20 down south, south of the border. Explain to me, why are you so far ahead, do you think?
Well, whether we're ahead or not, the scale of AD development then came along as a development from the renewable obligation certificates. So it basically subsidised the production of electricity from the generation from through an AD plant. So that made it worthwhile, and that encouraged an investment. And yeah, you're right, we probably have 70, 80, 80 plus AD plants of a farm scale running in Northern Ireland. We've also got AD plants running on, you know, large scale food waste or even agricultural waste, other agricultural waste as well, such as poultry. But that would be the main reason for it. I think some of the differences we're going to see going forward, both sides of the border, is it's not going to be about electricity generation, you know, at source. It's going to be about biogas cleanup, production of biomethane injection into the gas grid. And then, of course, we've got an energy supply that we can use in all sorts of aspects, whether it's production of power, heat, transport, who knows.
That was Chris Johnston on the AFBI Research Farm in County Down. Now, James Delahunt, through your work with KPMG, you advise investors and policymakers about the issues with biomethane. We have about 20 AD plants here at the moment, but from where you are sitting, where do you see the future of this sector and what's going to happen next?
Good morning, Anne. Thanks very much for having me on. And good morning, Rob. So in relation to the industry, people would have seen in May, the government announced a national biomethane strategy. That essentially sets out a target of 5.7 terawatt hours of biomethane production by 2030. That's about 10% of today's natural gas use. In order to deliver that, the country needs about 200 to 250 of these biomethane plants to be developed and constructed right across the country, and then obviously for the biomethane to be injected into the grid. In order to deliver that, what's been stopping us so far has been essentially a viable route to market that developers can have confidence in to ultimately develop these. How that's going to be introduced is later this year, there's going to be a thing called the Renewable Heat Obligation to be announced, or the RHO. That will essentially put an obligation on utilities to procure up to 10% of their gas from biomethane. That'll effectively then give confidence for people to go and develop a plant that they know that they'll be able to sell and that they'll be able to get the funding and bank. In addition to that, the strategy outlined that there'll be a €40 million grant capital facility. That's live now, and I was reading about Stephen a couple of days ago in relation to the Farmers Journal about outlining that and some of the challenges and practicalities. But we're seeing developers go and submit applications for them at the moment.
And we did get a statement from the Department of Agriculture on this. They had 43 expressions of interest when the scheme was announced. It's a €40 million scheme. It was announced in June. We don't know how many applications there have actually been, and the application deadline, I think, closes at the 30th of August. And your planning permission has to be cleared by the 13th of September. Stephen, I guess it was outlined there very well by James, you know, what the plans are, but is there enough infrastructure? Is there enough funding to actually get us there? We've barely 20 plants. What do we need over 200?
Yeah, look, this our 2030 targets, Anna, of 200, 250 new build biomethane projects is going to be incredibly, incredibly challenging to meet, if not damn near impossible. We're slowly but surely, very slowly putting the pieces together to outline that blueprint, that roadmap as such as to how we might be able to do this. But what's happening on the ground, it's a lot slower than what it needs to be. I guess that the big difference between Northern Ireland and the Republic here is that we're taking it a step further. Northern Ireland, they're producing biogas, making electricity, exported to the grid. Here in the Republic, we're taking the biogas, we're upgrading it into biomethane, making it more or less chemically identical to natural gas and getting it into the gas grid. There's a lot more work involved in that. There's a lot more expense involved in that. They're much bigger projects. And that's why it's, in part, that's why it hasn't happened here as of yet. So the challenge ahead of us to come close to meeting our 2030 targets are massive.
Very difficult. I guess there are farmers, there are non-farmers and farmers listening. James, you are the son of a Wicklow beef farmer, and a lot of farmers listening are going to think, well, great. It could take a huge amount of slurry. I think it's the slurry from 1.3 million cattle. I think it's from all the winter slurry, which would be about 20% of all winter slurry in Ireland. It also needs silage. Now, the two things about silage: will farmers get paid, James, for their silage? How much could they get paid? But could it also swallow some of the silage stocks that could be going to animals?
Yeah, so I think that's a very good point. Like, where are the opportunities for farmers in relation to this? It depends on the farmer's level of appetite, their risk appetite, their financial resources. It'll vary from individual farmers that will look to enter into potentially a long-term contract for the sale of their grass silage and the supply of their slurry. We can see grass silage, while it ultimately needs to settle a €40 a tonne of what's ability to sell it, that's a nice premium as to what you might be selling it in other areas. And then you're seeing some farmers that will host plants essentially on their land through a land lease, or indeed some farmers may come together to ultimately look to seek to develop and construct one of these plants. So that's kind of one. In terms of the other question of, well, is it displacements? Is this effectively taking grass from the mouth of animals? One of the key things to appreciate in anaerobic digestion biomethane is if you enter into a contract as a farmer, you can then have a contract for the digestate, the offtake. That can be pelletized and is effectively an organic fertilizer. And what Chagas would be promoting is that you can ultimately use this to optimize effectively the yield of your land. So if we were to put in our 5.7 terawatt hours tomorrow, the amount of grass that would require is effectively 3% of the national land use. So this is not going to displace beef, it's not going to displace dairy. The objective that Chagas would say is, look, it's going to, if we optimize yield, it's an alternative route, it's a stable route, and it's a long-term contract that's available to farmers.
Stephen, coming back then, I guess, to the scheme that was announced, there's €40 million there, up to a maximum of €5 million per project, or 20% of the costs. But how much does an AD plant actually cost to build?
I see, this is the thing. Again, go back to Northern Ireland, typical AD plant, farm scale, €3 million, give or take, back in the day. A lot of money, but actually quite doable for a farmer to do, especially when a long-term support scheme was in place. Here in the Republic, because they're much larger projects, you're chatting between 10, 20, €30 million plus, depending on the size of the project and the scale of the project. So that's why these are large pieces of infrastructure. But the industry is happening. We're not going to meet our 2030 targets, but there are projects which will be developed probably by next year and up and going by next year. And that's why it's such a live issue. You mentioned 43 expressions of interest. Our figures would say there's probably about 17 of those projects which may be eligible to actually secure the funding. Realistically, we reckon about 5 of them or so might get through and actually get the funding. It's tiny. And these are the projects that have been worked on for a long time that are damn near shovel ready and ready to go. But they will be the ones that are going to be interacting and engaging with farmers. It's probably difficult to put a price on anything, to be honest, especially the price of silage, James. But until we know what price they're going to get for their gas, because that's what dictates everything. We don't know what the price of biomethane gas is going to be yet. There's no one actively engaged or actively locked into a long-term
householders listening would be hoping it would bring down the price of gas, though. They would be hoping. And I guess farmers would be hoping it'd be a way to get rid of excess slurry. Wouldn't they, James?
Yep, I think that's fair. And certainly in terms of slurry, it is a method to go on excess slurry. We know there's particular regions where they have excess slurry supply. There's no reason that can't be going into centralised anaerobic digestion facilities. I think an important thing just for people to appreciate as well, when we talk about Northern Ireland, a key element of Northern Ireland's anaerobic digestion has been to have biogas plants that's ultimately used for the production of electricity. Ireland is phenomenally successful at producing renewable electricity through onshore wind and solar. It's more efficient and it's more efficient for consumers, for retailers, ultimately through that way. Anaerobic digestion is a more expensive way of producing electricity. What the Irish government has done is taken a separate, a different strategy, which is biomethane. So it's the decarbonisation of our heat and gas sector. And if we can get the biomethane strategy implemented, if the renewable heat obligation is implemented correctly and we've a degree of policy certainty, like all these targets, they're a flag on a faraway hill. They stimulate activity. They may or may not be reached, but it will, without doubt, create levels of activity. I would say that we could ultimately surpass Northern Ireland. And just finally, an important thing to know in Northern Ireland, those biogas plants, a lot of them will be repurposing now to be biomethane plants to effectively follow what Ireland are doing in the Republic.
James, where does the farmer fit in? Can it be farmer-led, or is the farmer a supplier?
I think there. If you talk about those 200 plants, a lot of those plants are going to be larger plants, as Stephen has outlined, such as like a 40 gigawatt hour plant is kind of set as I say an average benchmark. If you have a 200-300 acre farm, that probably won't be sufficient enough to build an anaerobic digestive facility of your own that's viable. But the idea would be you would effectively come together with a number of farmers together. That's if in terms of the owner operator one. I think what is probably going to be most common will be long-term contracts feeding into some of the larger ones that are going to be developed, and then some farmers land leasing them across the country. But ultimately, I think what is positive is this isn't a directive from the government as to what it's open for farmers to do it. It requires farmers. This ultimately won't happen without the skills, the land, and the resources of farming community.
Stephen, do you have a final thought to add to that?
So look, there's a very small number of farmers actively trying to get projects off the ground themselves. But James is right, the vast majority of farmers will be engaged in AD through feedstock supply. So look, ultimately, Hannah, what that means, it's a new market. It's going to be a new market for farmers, going to be a market for slurry. What we think is going to happen is we're going to see farmers come together and form feedstock cooperatives at which they will come together and supply these plants. What I would like to see is for these feedstock cooperatives to have a share in the projects, to have a share in the plants, and that's how the farmers can get into the industry.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thanks to James Dale Hunt of KPMG. And stay with us, Stephen Robb. You'll be coming back to us later with the newspaper review. Let's take a break.